I plugged in?
I know I'm turned on. You know, I think we ought to all just take a moment and stand and give each other a group hug. No. I thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After hearing how bad we were from Brother Brian this morning, this only accents how good he is. Amen. And that's the way you ought to think about it. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles 29. For those of you who have been praying for Sylvia, the daughter of the couple in the Warsaw church who had disappeared about a month ago, she is still missing. So continue to pray. And pray for her and for her family also. I want to talk a little bit about legacy this morning. When I think of legacy, I think about those things that are passed on from one time period to the next, from one generation to the next, or from one, even in terms of the father to son. And it's not so much an inheritance, although I suppose it can be. But when I think of inheritance, I think of physical things. But legacy also includes those non-physical things that are passed on. Also think about legacy in terms of what people are remembered for. You know, I've heard a lot about that recently. You know, Putin wants to be remembered for, you know, a new world map. You know, this is the new USSR, Putin land, you know. Then Obama wants to be remembered, you know, his legacy, Obamacare. And really, you know, who knows how that's all going to turn out. I mean, you know, if you think it's going to be the end of us all, you know, in the next few years, it may be. Although it may turn out to be 5-10 years from now, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Who knows at this stage? We all have an opinion about it. But I want to speak about legacy in terms of the legacy you leave. And if you're concerned about that. I really don't care about how I'm remembered, because that's not going to last very long anyway. I mean, 50 years from now, who's going to know who Steve Dalross is? Unless another Steve Dalross happens to come along. All right? They're just not going to remember who I am. Or another 100 years? I mean, really, you ain't going to find that name in a phone book, on a map, or any place. So in those terms, I really don't care about legacy. But I do care about my legacy if it helps those who come after me to make right decisions, amen, to live spiritual. Amen. That is, if it has an effect on them from turning from the ways and wisdom of this world to God, that's what's important to me. I may not even know about it until they get to heaven and tell me, hey, it's a good thing you did. I'm not worried about being known for that. But I am worried about the decisions. And if you're a Christian, then you are worried about the decisions that are made in your family, by those who know you, by those who can be affected by you. I want to talk first of all about this guy found in 2 Chronicles 29. Because I really wanted to get God's opinion on something, and I didn't really care about what the Democrats, Republicans, or Independents said. So I got God's view, and he says that King Hezekiah, in verse 1, began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And this is the legacy that he left, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Now, if you know this guy, Hezekiah, and if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you've probably heard about him, and you've heard sermons preach about him, but you've probably not heard about his father, because he did what he did here, and he got this statement made about him in spite of who his father was. Look at 2 Chronicles, just turn a page, back to chapter 28, and Ahaz, who was Hezekiah's father, he was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight, like David his father. In the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Oh, so he did bad. How bad was he? Well, if you look over in that 28, get down towards the end of the chapter, verse 27. It says, "And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not to the sepulcher of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son raised in his stead." This guy was so bad that when he died, they didn't even take him to this place where the kings are buried. I don't know where they buried him. They buried him in an alleyway, in a commoner's grave, where they buried him in a backyard. I have no idea. But it was so bad that they said, one place we cannot bury him is in the sepulcher of the kings. It ain't going to happen. So Hezekiah, when he came to the throne, he was 25 years old. That's the kind of legacy that was left to him. That's the kind of teaching, that's the kind of example, that's the kind of leadership he had been under for 25 years. And when he took the throne, you know what he did? He lived for God. Amen. He did that which was right in the sight of God. You know, that tells me something. That tells me something about legacy. And that is, every tub sits on its own bottom. Now, that's not a Bible verse, but it's kind of like, as a twig is bent, so grows the tree. It ought to be, you know.
Watch out.
I don't know where you are this morning. And I don't know where you've come from this morning. And I don't know your past this morning. And, you know, I don't care. In this sense. Now, I've been accused of being cold and maybe uncaring and unappreciative. But I'm not. I realize that your past is important to you. But what I'm saying is, the past doesn't have to control you.
That's right.
What I'm saying is, just like Hezekiah, who was 25 years under this wicked man, when he got the throne, he said, "We are going to clean up this city starting right now. We don't have to live like that. We are going to live for God." And if you've got a godly heritage or an ungodly heritage, then don't be standing there at any time pointing back and saying, "Well, if my daddy would have done this, or my mama would have done that, or if my evil uncle wouldn't have done this, I can't serve God." Hey, listen, you can serve God.
Amen.
You can.
Amen.
Hezekiah did. Hezekiah did. And the pain... the pain is real. The pain that you experience, that you, these pressures that you're under. But over and over and over again, what I find in the pages of this book is God's grace is sufficient.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I find I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I can't. How can I accept you're not serving God because of my past in light of what this book says? You put me in between a rock and a hard place.
Amen.
I said, I just believe God.
Right.
And ask you to serve God and put your past behind you.
Amen.
But you know, even Hezekiah wasn't perfect. Look in verse... that's tremendous. It's miraculous reign this guy had. Look at verse 25. See, I'm not saying Hezekiah was perfect in everything he did. I'm just saying he was good. He did that which was right. He was just a man. Mike, Matt, you've been called to serve the Lord. You'll be serving him in a little bit. Deacon of the church, you best be perfect. Well, you know, I haven't objected to this, brother, because I know his daddy. And I know stories about this guy that a lot of you people don't know. But I know. And what I know is he ain't perfect. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That's not what we're asking. We're not asking for perfection. What we're asking for is a life that is without rebuke. We're asking for a life in service to God.
Amen.
A life committed to service to Him.
Amen.
And it'll have its ups and it'll have its downs. But in those downs, how you respond is just as important as how you respond in the ups.
Absolutely.
Right, but anyway, I'm off track here. In verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. Rendered to who? Well, he didn't render it to God. Verse 25 of chapter 32. Sorry about that. I knew where I was. How come you don't know where I was? But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. I thought you said he was a good king. He was a good king. But this was a mistake that he made. But what's really significant about Hezekiah is what it says in verse 26. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. I want you to remember this verse 26. I'm not going to talk much about it now. I just want you to remember it, because we're going to come back to it later. So when I think about the legacy that Hezekiah left, I see two things. Down in verse 33 of chapter 32, it says, and Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers, the sons of David. A little bit different than his daddy, huh? They buried him in the chiefest of sepulchers of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did honor him at his death. I see a nation that is set up to serve God and to follow him. That's what I see. So that is what I see. The first thing is characteristic of Hezekiah's legacy, and that's not a bad one to leave, I guarantee you. But notice something else. He left a son. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. Manasseh is the next guy I want to talk about for a little bit, because Manasseh is also a very incredible man. He is as amazing as Hezekiah was, but in a completely opposite direction. For as Hezekiah rose to the throne, and in spite of the ungodliness of his father, he served God. Manasseh, he comes to the throne, and in spite of the godliness of his father, he lives ungodly. Yeah. He says, all this church business, what do I want with church? What do I want with the temple? What do I want with God? Who is this God of Israel? I know I'm not. I'm king now. Yeah. Well, Hezekiah, you know, your daddy, if he was around, he wouldn't like that. Well, I could just arrange for you to meet him. What do you think about that? He returned the city to the ways of the heathen. He undid what his father had done. Look out in verse 3. For he built again. He built again. Ah, my father, look what he did. He destroyed all these altars and graven images. I'll just make new ones. Broken down and reared up altars for Balaam, and he made groves and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. You know, Hezekiah was dead, but if he was alive, I wonder what he would have been saying. What do you think a father would say if he watched his son or daughter do this? How would they feel? I know how some of you feel, because I've heard you. Your sons are living like Manasseh. Your sons aren't living like Hezekiah. Your daughters aren't living like Hezekiah. They're living like Manasseh. And you've invested all this time in destroying images and altars and trying to sacrifice to make your life right, and it seems wasted. Is it? Is trying to live for God and leave a godly legacy, is this a waste of time? He did more than this. Look at verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he also observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Manasseh is one of the worst kings ever. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. He's one of the worst kings ever. How could a man take the enlightenment that existed at the time of Hezekiah and said, no, I'm not going to live with that anymore. Instead, I want to take the wisdom of the world. You know? Well, you know how it is, that old Bible, that old King James Bible, it can be interpreted a lot of different ways, you know. It can be looked at a lot of different ways. Maybe this verse doesn't mean what it says. Maybe it means something else. I know a church over here that says something different. I've got these guys over here, and look, they got an altar, and they got stuff, and maybe they're right, and maybe you're wrong. Maybe that Bible's not even true anyway. These guys over here, they believe what they're saying, but they just as much as you do. Maybe they're right. I'll just go see. I'll just go worship Baal. I'll just put my children in the fire. Maybe it's worth something. Maybe it's worthwhile. Look at verse 10. Not only did he return to the ways of the heathen, not only did he replace those things that Hezekiah had done, but he rejected the counsel of God. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Daddy.
God speaks to you like, kind of like the one about Noah.
Noah.
Who was that? That was God. Would you pay attention if God spoke to you? Would you pay attention if God spoke to you like that?
All right.
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I'd go down and tell the doctor, I think I got something wrong with me.
Amen.
I'm hearing voices in my head. Listen, God has already spoken to me by this book. This book is what God uses to speak to us. He doesn't speak to us in dreams. He doesn't speak to us in visions. He doesn't speak to us in voices unless the voices of one of his prophets preaching what the Word of God says. Manasseh didn't care. Yeah, look it. Oh, yeah. You're warning me. You're going to reap what you sow. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Hey, look at me in my court. Huh? I got 50 women over here. I got guys of gold and silver over here. Does this look like I'm suffering? Does this look like I shouldn't be content? Does this look like I'm unhappy with sin?
Amen.
Now, if you've been around the Bible, you know what comes next. Let's see. You return to the way of the heathen. You replace the wisdom of God with the wisdom of man. You reject the Word of God. Well, what's the next step? You reap what you sow.
Yep.
You reap what you sow.
Amen.
Now, how long does it take? You know, I've been out with my dad out on the farm. You know, we're watching the grass and there ain't much rain. So we're looking at that grass. It ain't growing, you know. So we come back again. There's a little bit of rain, but doggone it, you know, it's been cold. You know, the nights get cold. The days don't get hot enough. So even though we got the water, we ain't got the sun. That grass still ain't growing. Let's go in a little bit. Sometimes the crops just don't come in when you plant them to, you know. We're about 30 days behind last year's reaping. Looks like it's going to be about the same. A late harvest. But you know what I know is coming? Harvest. Harvest. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap.
That's right, amen.
If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Look at verse 11 and what it says. It says, wherefore the Lord brought down the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him away to Babylon. What do I hear? What's that, Manasseh? You're talking about all that gold and silver you're enjoying? Where'd it go? What happened to it? What happened to those 50 women that were waiting for you or whatever it was? How many? Where are they now? What's your situation now? What does it feel like now? You know, you could have avoided all this.
Amen.
But you rejected the Word of God. You rejected His prophets. You rejected His preachers. You know, you're right. And this is an amazing thing. Look at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon him, I'm sorry, verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. There's two ways you can respond to this verse right off hand without knowing anything else. Say, yeah, of course he would. Then go down to Bexar County Jail. What fool down there doesn't cry out to God? We got a whole prison full of people going, hey, I'm sorry I got caught. Man, I'm sorry this happened to me. God, if you'll just deliver me, you know, I promise I'm going to, you know, I'll go to church or give money or I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. There are a lot of people who pray like that. Manasseh didn't pray like that. When it says Manasseh humbled himself and besought the Lord his God, it was real repentance. Now, you can find out the truth of it when you read further down a little bit later. But when he got out of that place he was in, the next Sunday, he was in church. Those guys that aren't serious, they get out, they get released, they find deliverance from some way or other. The next weekend, where do you find those guys? Down in the bar, same place they were before. They didn't repent. They're just sorry they got caught. They ain't done no repentance. But that guy who repents towards God and beseeches God and finds God, you know where he is on Sunday? He's in church.
Amen.
He's in church.
Lord. Amen.
I heard God was here. Just hand me a songbook. What does the Bible look like? And I'll go buy one.
Amen.
This is almost unbelievable. Here he is. Here's Manasseh. He has filled the city with innocent blood. He's done so much wrong and so much bad and so much evil and so much wickedness. And finally, when he gets caught, he calls out to God, God, have mercy on me.
Amen.
You know what God does? Okay, I will.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's not fair. That is not fair. Somebody talked to somebody yesterday about that. I said, this is not fair. I said, wait a minute, Manasseh. You get out of here and you go back to your throne and you build a church for me and you give money for me and you build walls and cities for me and then I'll think about forgiving you. That's fair. You start investing some of this money you stole. And give back some of the lives you've taken. And do something to make this an equal trade. And I will give you forgiveness. But that's not what he did.
Amen.
He said, okay, I'll forgive you right here.
Amen.
You haven't lifted a finger. The only thing you've done is you've got a broken and a contrite spirit, and I'll not despise that.
Right.
I will accept it.
Amen.
Verse 13. And prayed unto him, the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of, heard him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, and unto his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. I don't know where you're coming from this morning, but if the reason you're not serving God is because you think your life has been too bad, or you haven't been preparing yourself, or you haven't given what's necessary, that is not the God we serve.
Amen.
We serve a God who will take you as you are, and just He's looking for repentance.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It starts with repentance.
Amen.
Look, I'll tell you what to do after you repent. I'll tell you what to do after you come to me, after you're filled with my Spirit, after I save your soul. I'll put you on the path of serving me.
Amen.
But you're not going to serve me until you get saved.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
Amen.
That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And then how do you know where you really repent? I mean, we want to talk about it more in detail. Look at verse 15. And he took away the strange gods. Chapter 33, verse 15. And he took away the strange gods out of the house of the Lord at all the altars that he had built on the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and set them aside. Doesn't say set them aside, does it? He drop kicked them hummers out.
Amen.
He cast them aside.
Amen.
Verse 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel.
Amen.
Man, that's a guy who gets in. There's lots of people who have told me they've repented. There's lots of people who tell me they're saved. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. But when I look at their lives, what I see is there ain't no difference.
Right.
No difference from the time they started, then they supposedly got saved, and how their life continued.
Amen.
It seems to me that if someone is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that ought to make a difference in a person's life.
Amen.
I know it's hard for me to judge, and I know Christians make mistakes. Even Hezekiah himself was lifted up in his pride. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about living for God the best you can, filled with the Spirit of God. There ought to be a difference from the day you get converted. There ought to be a difference from the day you put your faith in Jesus Christ, from the time you repent towards God. There ought to be a difference. Can you see it?
Amen.
Can others see it?
Amen.
Because this is a legacy you're leaving behind for your children.
All right. Amen.
For your family. For your friends. Your children know how you live better than anybody else.
Amen.
My little girl, she's 5 and almost 6. And you know what I can hear already? I can hear my words coming out of her mouth. The things I say. That girl can hardly speak English. And yet the things I say are coming out of her mouth.
Amen.
What kind of legacy am I leaving behind? You say, yeah, but Steve, look at Manasseh. Look at he was a wicked man. He had a godly father. His godly father, Hezekiah, oh man, he made plenty of sacrifices. He spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort raising this boy. He gave it his all from what I can see. And what difference did it make? It didn't make any difference. Oh, whoa. It didn't make any difference? What did it say in chapter 32, verse 26? When Hezekiah sinned, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself.
Amen.
You ever think he talked about his son, about what happened to him?
Yeah.
Where do you think Manasseh learned about seeking God?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
About humbling himself? About, Lord, be just being treated to me like my daddy said. I've heard that if I'll humble myself and call out to you and repent of my evil and my wickedness, I've heard that you'll save me.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's a legacy.
Amen.
A lot of times, Hezekiah never lived to see that. Hezekiah was already dead. He never lived to see his son rule in his wickedness. I suppose that as a young man, Manasseh was a handful. You know, I doubt if he waited till he got to the throne to be as wicked as he was.
That's right.
And I can just see Hezekiah wringing his hands and praying over his boy, going, oh, Lord, this does not look good. This does not look good. But if he was alive, he'd have had to wait, they say. I've heard say that it was about 22 years later when he was taken into captivity. Manasseh was taken into captivity. He'd have had to wait 22 years to see his boy turn godly.
Yeah.
Now, when he did turn godly, do you think Hezekiah minded all the sacrifice he made? Do you think he minded all the time he spent in prayer? Do you think he minded all the things that he gave up and denied himself in order to have a godly influence on his son?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You want to see Manasseh's legacy? Verse 18 of 33. Now the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of his seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the Kings. And his prayer and how God was entreated of him And all his sins and his trespass, and the places where he built high places and set up groves and images before he was humbled. Before he was humbled. Behold, they are written in the sayings of the seers. You know, it's best if you live a life like Hezekiah that doesn't have Manasseh's past. If you've made a mistake, there's no way you're going to change your past. It's written. Mm-hmm. It's written down. It's written down on the pages of your life. But repent. Because you'll never have the good if you don't repent. All you'll have is the bad. This is his legacy. Oh, and there's one more thing. So Manasseh, verse 20, so Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Manasseh had a boy. Stepped up to the throne, and he lived just like Manasseh did in his early reign. Ungodly. That's okay. That's okay. He just needed time to sow his wild oats, right? He just needed time to figure out who he was. He just needed some time to figure out what was important and what was not important. And it's okay. You can do that. That's all right. We have a merciful God, right? Sure. You can just do this. It's no big deal. It's no time to get excited. It's no time to be driven to your knees in prayer. Oh, wait a minute. Something happened. But, verse 22 says, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. 2 years he was king. He had 2 years to figure it out, and he didn't get it done. Now, Manasseh had 22 years. Amon didn't get 22 years. Amon should have never got involved in deceitful business anyway. But he should have gone out as fast as he could. I don't know where you are. I don't know how long you've been playing with the evil you're playing. But you need to get out as soon as you can.
Amen.
You need to get out today.
Amen.
You need to get out of the evil and to back to serving God like you know you should, like you've been taught, like you've been led, like you've been shown from the words of Scripture as fast as you can.
Amen.
I guess I only got one last thing to say. And that is, there are two people here I would like to recognize. One is my daddy, and one is my mama. They have not been perfect, but they have been right. Since I was young, they appointed me to Christ, my Savior. And I just want to thank them for being able to say, I have found Christ.